for today's episode, I'm bringing you a topic that has intrigued me for a really long time. Have you seen those videos of sadhus dancing and singing bhajans on the London subway or in New York Central Park? Those videos usually go quite viral, don't they? Or have you watched the controversial Netflix documentary Wild Wild Country? The common theme is the growth of a charismatic Indian leader or an Indian religious sect which comes to the West and ends up getting so much success and becoming a huge movement. I have always wondered, what is it about the Eastern culture that appeals to Westerners in such a huge way? Are these so-called Indian spiritual and religious groups running one of the biggest scams of our generation? Or are they sharing some messages from our Indian culture that are truly transforming the lives of these Westerners? And so most importantly, if there is such a message, then what is it? My name is Isha and this podcast is called Culture Chaos. Having spent all of my life as a proud Mumbai girl, my mind sort of went for a toss when I moved abroad, and since the past 7 years, I have been traveling from one country to another and have lost count of how many cities and houses I have moved. Culture chaos is what the state of my mind is. All my experiences of life away from home, trying to just make sense out of things. There are too many examples of it. I've seen them around me all over North America, and I'm certain that you've seen even more examples of them in India. We all know that certain temples, ashrams, or religious organizations are more popular among Westerners than others. And our culture is now at a point where we've accepted that there is something about our culture that is very appealing to the Westerners. I have often questioned what it is, and in my last few years abroad, I have kind of come to some conclusions. Of course, there's a history to it, and it doesn't date that far back. Around the Second World War, the West, especially America, was going through major social changes with the political climate. The people were unhappy, and the culture was in a turmoil. This is a time of the hippie movement. Remember the movie Hare Rama Hare Krishna from the Dam Maro Dam fame? There was an increasing number of these people who were denouncing their country. They were rejecting the social structure and they were looking for more answers and justifications at, I guess, a larger, more human level. These hippies started traveling to cheaper and safer countries outside of the developed world in search for a cheap lifestyle, cheap drugs, and I guess also for some cultural enlightenment, or so they claimed. So India noticed. With the tourism, especially in ashrams and religious organizations, India started noticing that there was a special appeal we could have with this particular audience. It was the 60s and our country was quickly transforming from a socialist country to a more capitalist economy. The immigration routes were easier and these religious groups saw an opportunity, so they moved west and opened shop. Now, as Easterners, we know that probably 8 out of 10 would be a scam, and we know how much potential this product that we call religion or spirituality has on a world stage. So it's obvious what happened. The traditionalists in the West were obviously against these small foundations that the East was laying in their country, and there was strong opposition. It is also important to note here that back in the day, there weren't that many of us here in the West. So all of these so-called gurus that were migrating to the West and trying to grow their group and establish their sects here, they were trying to appeal to a complete Western audience. the products were always packaged into a really attractive offering. They would teach meditation, they would teach yoga kriyas, throw in a little bit of Kama Sutra here and there, talk about spirituality and talk about self-awareness. For someone coming from political turmoil and an absolutely materialistic culture, these were very appealing things and the market was ripe. Most of these organizations grew from a small room to a couple of thousand people within a handful of years. If we're talking numbers, let me share some with you. You all must have probably heard of ISKCON. Today, they have hundreds of centers all across the globe. Sadhguru's Isha Foundation has one of the world's largest meditation spaces here in Tennessee, and they probably train thousands and thousands of people all over the world every year. And this is me just naming a few organizations. Of course, while some organizations did us good in terms of spreading a positive message about our culture in the West, some ended up getting proven to be huge scams. Look up the whole Bikram Yoga scam, or for that matter, the madness that they showed in the Wild Wild Country documentary. Calling it an embarrassment would be an understatement, but again, there's liars and thugs everywhere, so I don't think our culture needs to take the blame for the misdoings of a few individuals. Now, coming from the point of view of someone who's born and raised in the Eastern culture and has lived in the West long enough to understand the intricacies of the West, I get why our values and our roots may appeal to the folk here who have in their entire lives had no exposure to Eastern values whatsoever. For the West, it's a couple of things that are quite foolproof when it comes to the appeal that the Western values hold. First, it's the science behind some of our ancient cultural practices. As research has advanced, we've come to realize the innumerable benefits of practices like meditation, yoga, or Ayurveda, which are all scientifically proven to be extremely beneficial to the mind and body. So they had a winning product, of course. Couple that with unique, exotic-looking packaging, and you've got a brand that's going to create its own demand. Now remember that these were the days before social media, and the only way these ideas were selling was through word of mouth. For people who had spent their lives in the country that didn't really have any ancient history or deep cultural roots to look back at, they found these Eastern concepts providing them with answers they had never found before. People felt an instant connection to what was being said and what was being practiced. It was as if there was a sudden sense of purpose in an otherwise materialistic society. Now, whether it is concepts of Hinduism, concepts of Sufism, or various schools of yoga and meditation, the West has embraced our cultural concepts for their appeal, and they've done so even more than they've probably embraced us as a population. And there honestly seems to be no end to it. For something like yoga, it used to be an Eastern concept some 10 years ago, but now it has become a part of a popular culture here, and now it's very common for some cities here to have 10 to 20 yoga studios within a 5-mile radius. Now, whether or not these concepts or the gurus selling these concepts are genuine or not, that is for the world to decide and you to think about. And with that comes an end to my today's episode. Stay tuned for my upcoming episodes where I share my stories about searching for comfort and navigating life away from home. This podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Savan, Spotify, or your preferred podcast app. You can find more content for Culture Chaos on Twitter and Facebook. I would love to hear back from all of you, so feel free to write to me on my email. You can also leave your feedback in the form of a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening. This is Isha, and you're listening to Culture Chaos.